Let's open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. I'll read from verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. 7 from verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Verse 13. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. It takes humility to pray. Amen. People that don't pray, obviously this scripture tells me, it's because they are prideful. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my hand. I think most people are reading the same Bible I have. And seek my hand. Is that what your Bible has? Okay. I think some of your Bible has face. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land, restore. Amen? That's a commitment God has made with his people, Israel. Before this commitment, all through their work with Moses, as God was revealing things to Moses, as he was preparing them to walk in this constitution of the Old Testament called the law, he promised them everything you can dream of. And what even they don't expect. And he guaranteed them blessings upon blessings if they live in obedience to the things that God has asked them to do. But he made it very clear that if they disobey, there are consequences that come to disobedience because he opened some doors. Amen? So, here, as they were dedicating the temple on the seventh month during the Feast of Tabernacles, Solomon built this temple in 7 years and was dedicating this magnificent temple, and the glory of the Lord fell, the fire fell, and it was just glorious. That night after everybody had left, the Lord appeared to Solomon and told him this, that if I shut up heaven, if pestilence, if this happened, or if this happened to my people, there is a reason for it. And God was saying the only reason that will happen is because somehow a door has been opened and the heart of these people have turned away. Or they are not in alignment with God's purpose. It was not for nothing. So God says, if they will humble themselves and pray, I mean, come back to God and say, okay, and seek the face of the Lord. And then torn from whatever the wickedness is, then God says, I will hear from heaven and I will bring restoration. Amen? Now, the scripture is full of confirmations. And this is just a clear word the Lord gave to them as his people, so that he gave them a clear path how to come back and how he can bless them again. So, let's open our Bibles now to the book of Joel. Hallelujah. If we can just take turns to read so we can finish it on time. If somebody can read from verse 12 to verse Joel chapter 2. If you, somebody can read from verse 12 to verse 16. Then the next person read from 17 to 24. And then the other person can, no, 17 to 27. And then somebody can read from verse 28 to 32. Just read out loud and Joel 2. Amen. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Sanctify. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. Amen. Based on what we read so far, I just want to bring some understanding to us about seasons. We all are very, by now, familiar that Mount Zion is, we don't take seasons for granted, especially the feast season. But it's very important that we not, though we don't take it for granted, but it's so important that we get the revelation of the seasons. Because if God says these are my appointed seasons, these are my appointed times, we need to be very sensitive to why they are so important to God. And what might be available in this season that might not be available every other time that we need to take advantage of. I've said it over and over from 2006. These seasons have done things in my life no other time I've done. And I say it before the presence of the Lord. And these times we've been waiting has, with the understanding now that I have, there is no prayer that God takes for granted. But more so in the seasons where God says, come specially to me in this season, they are very special moments. Amen?
Amen.
Let me use windows and gates and doors to quickly say something here before we pray. In a house, physical house, there are windows, there are doors, and there are gates. David said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Malachi, God spoke to the prophet, and he says, if they are faithful in what God has commanded them, he says, I will open. Amen? I will open the windows of heaven. These things are in the scriptures. I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Open the windows. That means it's very possible the windows was closed at that time because of the state of the people. And God said, if you will be faithful, I will open. I mean, he will not open unless it's closed. Then the Lord also in Revelations 3 said, I am the one who has the keys of David. I open and no man can shut, and I shut and no man can open. Amen? This is New Testament. Jesus, when he was taking the disciples through Caesarea Philippi, it's a very idolatrous area, when Peter received the revelation of Christ, he says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He says, I give unto you the keys, amen, of heaven. And he says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. But he made a statement before then and says, upon this revelation, I will build my church. Before he says they will open it. He says, upon this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against. So again, on the negative side, you see that there are gates. Amen? Psalms 24, it says, open the gates, the ancient gates that the King of Glory will come in. Amen? So again, you see, it's again speaking. David was saying, prophet, there are gates. He wasn't talking about physical gates. And when Jacob was running from Esau, he was sleeping, and that's Bethel. He had this dream. And when he woke up from that dream, he says, I did not know that this is the gate of heaven. And he saw angels ascending and descending. Amen? Another way, I just want to bring some things together here. In the physical realm, as humans, none of us was born twice. We were born one day, and we all came out of our mother's womb. We call it birthday. Amen? That day is considered a memorial day in our lives. Amen? There is no other day like it. Your parents love you every day of your life. They will be a blessing to you. They will serve you. They will honor you. But that day, they don't forget you. That day, for some reason, they feel the need to do something special for you as a memorial of the day, the day you came through into this world. It was it. Your gates were into this world. That day is celebrated as your birthday. No matter how much everybody loves you every day, but that day is celebrated. So, when God was walking with the physical Israel, there were certain laws and commandments and rules he gave to them as kind of a constitution. And then in Leviticus 23, through the whole Leviticus and Exodus, he gave them specific feasts. And this feast, he made it mandatory, three specific ones, mandatory for every male to be in Jerusalem. But he's calling all Israel to come. But this specific three, every male must be there. And God says, these are my appointed seasons, appointed days. Amen? And this particular feast, God laid out so many things they ought to do. And he promised them that if they will be faithful to the Sabbath, they will be faithful to this feast, he will guarantee them their rains in their season, their early and their latter rains. He will bless them. He will give them the cycle of rain, and the cycle of harvest will never cease. But again, during this feast, they are encouraged to come. They should not come empty. Amen? You see, one thing that I've learned is that what God does with Israel physically, he does with the church spiritually in many, many things. God knows what he has created. He knows man. He knows how frail we are. He knows we're in the flesh. And he knows exactly what he has put in place to help redeem us, to help refocus us, to prepare ways for us to be redeemed, blessed, and so that the enemy, whenever he has a way in the human, he's provided ways for our restoration, always. So when he visited Solomon, he told him, he says, when heaven is shut, meaning when the windows are closed or the gates, whatever heaven is shut, or whatever means by which God releases rain or releases blessing, that avenue has been shut. It happened several times in Israel's life. He says, I've prepared a way of escape. He says, when I send pestilence or locusts or plagues or whatever it is, because of the state the enemy has allowed them to be, he says, here is a way to escape. Come back to me. Come back to me. And turn away, come back to me. So, for Israel to live either a sanctified life through that whole, just stay focused on the Lord and live out that life, he gave them this feast. He says, and this feast were to become memorials, a lifestyle, so that every time they come to this feast and they live out the principles of the feast, it keeps them engaged with God. It keeps them successful. It keeps them focused. It keeps them always the head and not the tail. He keeps them moving because this feast were to intentionally keep their eyes on the Lord and make them remember where they came from and make them remember who is the source of their provision, so that as they offer their first fruits, as they do everything God says, they always are keeping themselves always reminded that God is the source, God is everything, and God is the one that kept them, God is with them, God is that everything was relating to them being always successful and fruitful. But unknown to them how serious the wisdom of God is, they tend to depart from these things, and before they know it, the enemy alienates them and they start living like the heathens. And they start forsaking to do these things, and after a while, it gets really bad. And when they have departed from me so much, then they shut the windows of blessing, like in the days of, or they shut the rain, like in the days of Elijah, or they shut every, and then the enemies come. One, literally, God allows locusts to attack their crops. He devours their farms, devours their. Then spiritually, he allows enemies like these Assyrians or the Babylonians or whatever, they come. So these are the different ways that they become awakened that they have departed from the way. So the best example here is in the book of Joel. The children of Israel at this point are experiencing these warnings God gave. There was no rain. The whole place is dried up. Locusts has come, devoured their palm trees, their fig trees, their everything, no oil, no wine, no nothing. The animals were perishing. The trees were not producing. They were dried up. So literally Israel was going through a famine. They were going through both everything, spiritual famine, physical famine, everything. And then to make matters worse, the enemies came and besieged them and invaded them. So they are in this state. So thank God for men and women who will at least be awakened sometimes and say, but God has given us a prescription to come out of this. Let's go back to that. So in many different generations, God used different people, but in this place, Joel rose up and said, let's sound a trumpet. Let's blow a trumpet. Why blowing a trumpet? That's one of the feast God has given them to remind them about how to come back to him. There are different sounds of trumpets, but in the seventh month, the Jewish tradition is on the first day of the seventh month, which is actually beginning tonight. Tonight is the sun set off entering into what they call Rosh Hashanah or the Feast of Trumpets, Memorial of Blowing of Trumpets. But these trumpets were to remind them of the different sounds of trumpet, whether it was for war or for celebration or for dedication or whatever it is. But there is one trumpet that is a call to repentance. And it's usually in the seventh month, because they use that to repent of everything that has happened through the beginning of the first month, and they prepare themselves for the next 10 days. They call it the days of awe, meaning the days where they really tremble before God. And they are checking their hearts and doing inventories and just crying out to God and repenting, because the 10th day is the day of atonement, where they believe, you know, that's when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. And if the sins of Israel are not covered or received or forgiven, then that whole, as they enter from the Feast of Tabernacles, the whole of that season, that God will not accept their, they will not, their, as they come to the Feast of Tabernacles, everything they do will not be accepted. So that whole year, they will not have rain, they will not have, and so they go through the cycle, and that's how God judges those things happen to them. But every time their sacrifices, they're forgiven, they received, then they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles by the poor, all the rituals surrounding it is to celebrate a fresh new season on the eighth day. And from that, they expect a glorious, fruitful, blessed year until they come back again. And that was a cycle in the physical realm, a type and shadow. Now, in this Feast of Trumpets, when they blow the trumpet, Joel said, where is the trumpet? Where did we keep the trumpet? God has spoken to Solomon. God has spoken to our fathers. I believe it's time for somebody to raise up the ram's horn again and call us together. And make it clear that it's time for us to seek the Lord, for us to search our hearts, for us to turn from our wicked ways, for us, so that God again will hear from heaven and release what it takes to bring restoration to our land. And so Joel called for that, and called the people, sounded the trumpet, and called the people, gathered the people, and they responded. And God, of course, showed mercy, and God says, I will give you your rain again. I will restore, I will do all this stuff, you know, so that your crops can grow, your animals can eat, and life will come back again, and all these things. And then prophetically, Joel now connects something that most of the prophets also alluded to in Hosea. Talks about, I will pour out my spirit upon you in the latter days, which is a type and shadow of, again, spiritual rain. And that's what Peter referred to in the book of Acts. Amen? When the church was born, the spiritual company. When Joel called for this, in verse 23, it talks about, I will do this for you in a particular window of time. Not that I will not hear you, but I will make sure that rain comes in its season, harvest comes, everything will come in their season, in their season. So he says, I will restore to you rain in the first month, you know, and he's talking about, you know, that first month has what they call the Passover month, because that's a feast, unleavened bread, the first of the first fruits, because I will restore what you need to make sure those feasts are honored again. And then he talks about, I will give you back what the locust has taken, the cankerworm, all these things that have happened to you, I will multiply and I'll redeem everything that's been taken from you. And then he says, I'll pour out my spirit. And he linked, in other words, he was saying, I will also give you the fruit of your harvest, your first fruits harvest. There is a first of first fruits, which is Restoration Day, but there is a first fruits, which is Pentecost. So he says, I will give you your harvest so you can have your celebration of your first fruits. But in Joel, when he talked about that and says, afterwards I'll pour my spirit, on the time they are celebrating the first fruits was the same time God poured out his spirit, and we have the first fruits of the spirit. The first, the church was born, the spiritual component. It all happened in the seasons, the window of time that God gave. When God told them, make it a memorial, and then later became a lifestyle of their feast, it's not a coincidence that when they came out of Egypt, that first month, the Passover, the unleavened bread, and then the first of the first fruit, every one of those seasons was totally spiritually represented by the coming of Christ. We all celebrated that during Easter. And then Pentecost, again, just the way it was when they came out of Egypt, amazingly tied to the feast season when God gave it in Leviticus, became the time the church was born as the first fruit within the season. Amen? And then in the seventh month is the blowing of the trumpets, where Joel used it to call, and the prophets will use it to call, and Solomon dedicated the temple on the Feast of Tabernacles, and the glory of God came. And so atonement, the trumpets, they blow the ram's horn to repent for the rest of the year. On atonement, God forgives them if everything is accepted. Then tabernacles, God again, they celebrate God dwelling in their midst, or how they came out and God was in the tents and how they went in booths. They call it tabernacles or booths or in gathering. Again, a celebration of another level of harvest. So all these are God's way of telling Israel, I want to maintain a relationship with you for you to be fruitful through the year, and the cycle must continue if you remain obedient. So in the spiritual context, we have seen this, Jesus fulfilled these areas in our lives. But the good news about God is, in the days of Haggai and Joel, there was a statement that Haggai made. He says, when the first temple was destroyed, or when Joel says, the enemy has destroyed your harvest or the cankerworm, God now says, I will restore to you. But this restoration is different the way God talks about it. So it's in Haggai that you understand what restoration really means. He says, the glory of the latter house will exceed that of the former. Mean when God restores or redeems, he does not just give you what the enemy has stolen. He will give you seven times. In other words, he will take back seven times what the enemy and give you more. You see, it happened to them when they came out of Egypt. They were blessed. When they came out of Babylon, all this feast season, whenever the people come and repent, God just blesses them abundantly with great rain. And that's what Sister Renee just read. Why am I saying that? Jesus fulfilled something for us. But even as he fulfilled it, these windows, God has also left them open for us to ask for God to multiply, to increase, to do extraordinary things to bring us where we need to be. Amen? Passover, Jesus was our Passover. Amen? That was a kind of a salvation. We came out of the world. And we all know that unleavened bread is the word of God. It's the incorruptible seed. As some of you know this, some of you probably are not aware. So I just want to leave. Incorruptible seed, that's the word of God, unleavened bread. First of the first fruit, that was resurrection. Jesus was the first begotten from the dead. All those was fulfilled by Christ. Now, Pentecost, he was the first of the first fruit. So unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and dies alone, but if it dies, it produces more. So he was the first of the first fruit, and then, of course, the disciples came out of that vine. But the seventh month feast, how did he fulfill it for us? And he's still going to fulfill it for the Jews. Trumpets is a call for repentance. A call. You know, who knows how God will fulfill all this again at the time. You know, the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians 15 how at the last trumpets we all be taken away. You know, so trumpet is a calling and it has different sounds. One is a call for repentance, is a call, you know, God will take us spiritually to glory. Or it's a call for war, it's a call for whatever. But it's a sound. It's a distinct sound for us to come together for a specific season to do something. Amen? Amen? Then atonement, Jesus also became our atonement. Because now, if we sin today, we can ask for forgiveness. It says, he's faithful and just to forgive us from all our unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us. So he atones for our sins daily. Amen? When we ask for forgiveness, when we repent. Now, individually. Also, is the Feast of Tabernacle is Emmanuel. That's when Jesus came in the flesh and manifested. And now he comes. He is with us now by the Spirit of the Lord. He's here. He's Emmanuel. He's in us. Amen? But having said this, God expects for us to expect increases. Like you see in Ezekiel 47. He doesn't want us to be the same. He wants every one of these things to bring an increase in our lives. The increase of the glory of God while we decrease. Increase harvest of souls. Increase this, increase that. He just wants us to go from glory to glory. Amen? So during this feast season, it's always a good time for us to take an inventory. Personally, but mostly corporately. The purpose of this feast totally always defined from the first to the seventh was a corporate assessment of Israel or the church. It's always a good time for any church to come together. It's a window. God invites us all together to consecrate ourselves, to do an inventory. Are we doing what God is calling us to do? Are we fruitful? Are we just to wait upon the Lord corporately and to receive a corporate blessing as well as individual blessing? These are patterns for the physical Israel, but these are also parallels for spiritual Israel. Again, let's not take it like, take it as your birthday. God loves us every day. We are fruitful. We can win souls every day. We visit, we can pray every day, go to God every day, repent every day. But these are feasts that God personally says, I want you to come and I want to personally take an inventory of where you are with me. We can come to God, but this time God says, you come as a body, as a people. Come to me. Amen? It's a very special thing. And then, just to show you how important this is in the millennium, if you go read it in Zechariah, or read it even in the book of, during the millennium, the nations that will not come to the Feast of Tabernacles will experience the chastening of the Lord. That's one feast that will be kept all through during the millennium, the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? So my brothers and sisters, these are special windows. They are very special to God. Take it like your birthday, amen? So we always call a time of prayer during this window for God to meet us, for God to help us, for God to take us on another level. Individually and corporately. So, beginning from tomorrow up to the 26th of this month, tomorrow beginning tonight is called the Memorial of Trumpet. So trumpet is a call, and that's what we're doing now. That's what we did. So it's a call, just simply a call. So I am crying with you to God. I'm begging us for your own good. He did it for us. To align ourselves to this season, to pray for Israel, to pray for the Middle East, to pray for the lost, to repent for our generation, to pray for America, to repent for our cities. Just take this week, this season, as we begin every night, we're going to start repenting for the nation, pray for the nation, repent for the church, pray for Israel. Just such a window we can corporately let God feel that we care about other people in a corporate way. And that we respect this feast that he has set to call us. And then, of course,
We continue with that. We take communion on the day of the, we just keep going. Then, when we get to the Feast of Tabernacles, we have a 24/7 prayer. Why we're doing that is to intensify our cry for God to send refreshing to us, for God to open and bring an increase of His presence in our personal lives, of His presence in our corporate gathering, of His presence in our city, of His presence. I don't think you are satisfied where you are. I'm not saying you're not content, but I don't think that should. Is any of you satisfied with where what God is doing in your life? With the glory you're walking in? If you are, praise the Lord. I don't think I'm close to where I want to be. Amen? So this is a window that I almost say, God, I want more. I want to see your glory more. I want to walk with you more. I want to experience you. I want to see what you've done in the past. I will not stop asking. I will not stop coming to these windows, regardless of all the days we pray, for you to do something fresh for our generation. My brothers and sisters, that's just joy realized in the next generation. And that's what I'm submitting to this house as a family. Perhaps one of these days, because we've been doing this so long. Apart from what God does inside of us, and He does it, and I know He's always done it, but maybe one of these feasts, God will just surprise us and say, you know, you all have been so faithful. I'm just going to do something special for you. So let's just continue to knock on this window, this door. Amen? I'm believing for every one of you to receive promotion. Every kind of breakthrough, I believe it. I live to just stand in the gap to do that. But I'm believing God to manifest the vision and the glory He has to make us really stand out for His purpose in our generation. Amen? So if we're in agreement, let us find a few people tonight just to pray to consecrate these 21 days. Let's blow the trumpet together. Consecrate these 21 days. Stand in agreement. You can fast.